Thank you all just for just being here. And, you know, these last 4 weeks, we've been exploring really our core faith, what we believe in and why we believe it. I was having a conversation. I met somebody new yesterday and had a bit of a chat. You know, it's easy for me. What do? Pastor church. Ah, it either goes two ways. Yes, see you later. I'm just going over here. Or tell me more. And so it's part of the fun. So, you know, I was chatting about church. I said, look, jump onto YouTube. Here's all of our messages. Check us out. You know, this is the best way for you to find out. And, you know, particularly these last 3 weeks and today, our four messages on Curious is really all about what we believe and why. It is a great introduction to the faith. So if you've got friends who are curious, it's so easy to pull out your phone and say, here's the YouTube channel. Just go and explore. Because it's just nice to have that, you know, that facility that we work hard at. But it can be a real blessing to people to sort of explore why we believe what we believe. So as an introduction, this is the final message before we launch into September, which is spring. We get to late August and everyone is sick of winter, right? So we're so looking forward to our life-filled month where we explore. Really, it's about the vision for the future. We like to get ahead. We're planning 2023. We like to get everything ready so that by the time we arrive at 23, we're ready to go. Anyway, Jesus, I thank you for this message on the church, on curious gatherings. I thank you, Lord, for your wisdom. I thank you for who you are. And Lord, as we open your word this morning, just bring it to life in our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we live in curious times. We live in curious social times. The post-COVID lockdown is actually changed a lot about the way we do life. Again, I was chatting with some people during the week who've, you know, moved to Bathurst and they're kind of commuting from Sydney, and because of COVID, they can do that, you know, working from home. And there's been all kinds of places if you can. There's been all sorts of shifts in the way we do life. A lot of it's online, a lot of it's in different spaces. But the tough bit of it is that so many people are struggling socially to reconnect. Socially awkward, social fear. People got comfortable being at home and like, how do I relate anymore? How do I actually have a conversation? It's almost like we've, so many of us, not everybody, but a lot of people have retreated to themselves and we're not even sure how to be a friend anymore. Like, do I shake hands anymore? What do I do, you know? We're awkward, aren't we? I'll talk about that later on. But yeah, we don't even know. Hi. Ever feel that? When you meet someone new? And it was embarrassing before, particularly, you know, for me with ladies, you know, do I shake their hand? Do I just, what, you know? COVID has just exacerbated that. So we've got this kind of already weird social vibe going on. And there's a diminishing role of authority in the world. There's the impact of working from home and people being more isolated. What does it mean for the church? What does it mean for the people who gather? And could this be a really exciting time to reframe church? What is church? Why do we do what we do? Have you ever thought about that? Oh, Sunday morning, oh, got to go to church. Got to, guess we should. Oh, well, come on, kids. Like, why do we come to church? Why do we gather? Why do we do this? Why has the church forever, since the beginning, gathered in groups? Why are we still doing this thousands of years later? We're going to explore all that this morning. But just maybe it's time to revisit the core ideas in here and put that into place for today's culture. And let's see what happens. So, three things I'm going to talk about today. First is who we are. Got to start with who we are. Then we're going to talk about what we do. Who we are, what we do, and then how to be. Who we are, what we do, how to be. Okay, who we are and who we are not. We are the body of Christ. Now that's weird. Let me drill down on a couple of scriptures here. We belong to Christ. Before we do anything else, who we are is so important. Have you ever come across in a conversation and you start talking about, oh, where do you live? What do you do? Our society jumps to that because we're safe with that. Now, what do you do for work? I don't. Where do you live? It's these kinds of questions, but do we really ask, who are you? Because as a culture, we place value on what we do, not who we are. But you'll find that God places value on who we are, not what we do. We've got to shift that around a little bit. So the first thing is who we are. We belong to Christ. Look at this scripture, 1 Corinthians 6:17. It says, he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Now follow this. He who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. That's a definition of a Christian. A Christian isn't someone who's a nice person or who goes to church. A Christian is someone who's joined themselves to Jesus. Now that word join in the original language is the same word as glue, stuck, like grabbed hold of, adhesive. That's where we get that word adhesive from. So if you are joined to the Lord, you become one spirit with him. This is phenomenal. If you're a Christian, if you've joined yourself to Jesus, you actually are one spirit with him. Now that means that he is in you and you are in him. Before we do anything, I want you to see who we are. This is incredible. The God who made the universe, the God who authored life, the God who set everything up actually lives in us and we are one with him. That's a wild thought. I don't know if you understand that. I certainly don't. But I want to. I want to try and get this thick head to get, what does it actually mean to be one spirit? I am joined with the Holy Spirit. That's who I am. That's who I am. But not only that, Romans 12:5 says we belong to each other. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Now, as if it wasn't enough to just be joined with Jesus, we are also, look at this, individually members one of another. Okay, let me explain that. Pretend that I'm a finger. It's a nice finger. That's my part of the body. Perhaps I'm a finger. Now, obviously, this finger is joined to my arm, to my body, to the head, which is Christ. Okay? But in a normal sense, you know, typically, my brain tells my finger what to do. Finger, move. And it does. It's incredible. Okay? But for the finger to move, the finger needs an arm, an elbow, muscles, sinews, nerves, all kinds of crazy things going on just to do that. So if we are the body of Christ, and that's what the scripture says, you might be a finger or a toe or an elbow or something in the body of Christ, and we're all different. Thank you, Jesus. You'd have to be connected. So who you are is the body of Christ. You are connected. Now, you need the wrist. If you're the finger, you need the wrist, the elbow, the shoulder, everything. You need that to survive. Likewise, if you're the arm, well, the arm's pretty useless without a finger, isn't it? I mean, the arm just drags the finger around. Like we are interdependent. And we're dependent not just on Christ, the head, but on each other. We are the body of Christ. We are joined with Christ. We belong to each other. This is radically different to our world. Radically different. So we are the body of Christ. We don't try to become the body of Christ. So we use this word church, right? We say, I'm going to church. And so we get in our cars and we come to church. Now I'm at church. No, you are the church. Such a different. I mean, even worse, you know, we talk about church as a building. Church isn't a building. That's a church building, right? That's a place where the church meets. Now, we use the common, you know, there are four churches in town, and we usually mean old ones with steeples, you know. That's a church. But really, we are the church. I want you to see this. You and I don't come to church. We are the church. We are. We actually belong not just to Christ but to each other. This is radical. So it means that when I turn up on a Sunday morning or I'm in a life group or I'm having a chat, we actually have a deeper connection than just because I've chosen to come to church. Somehow God has arranged us so that we're together, that the body of Christ is together. This is so different to anything else that we've got on the planet. My boys have all played rugby over the years. And it's rugby presentation season, right? So you go to the rugby. And I must confess, I've never played rugby. I like the game, but I don't understand the game or the subculture inside of it. So when I turn up to a rugby presentation with all the men, the blokes, the rugby players, and you know, there's a set, there's a look and appearance about them, I don't fit in. Now, I try. You know, that was a great ruck, wasn't it? And I hope I've got the ruck and them all the right way around, you know, because I'm never really sure. That was a great, I know the try bit. I don't know when they go through the post. That's a conversion. But beyond that, I don't really understand why they lift them up by their trousers or why they, you know, do what they do. I'm an outsider, okay? But in order to become part of the rugby set, I'd need to invest time, understanding. I'd need to dress differently. I'd need to, you know, I'd need to just absorb the culture. But it's weird because I always feel like a bit of an outsider because I don't really understand the game or the main thing. Now, I reckon it'd be a bit like that at church. When you come into a church, it's kind of weird. We're a subculture. We dress funny. We talk funny. Hopefully not too funny. But we're all quite different, aren't we? But the difference between the church and the rugby club is that rugby club is you just gathered around a common interest. And some people talk that about church. Oh, we're just here because we've got a common interest. Just like I'd go to the rugby club or the chess club or the bowling club or the golf club or whatever else. And these are all good things. But I want you to see the church is so different to that. When I go to the rugby dinner, I am not the rugby dinner. I am not the club. I'm just part of the club. But I am part of the church. I belong to Christ and I belong to each other. Such a different thought. And this short thought should radically change the way we view each other. Not just occasional friends that we meet, Sunday have a quick coffee with, but actually deeply connected. This is countercultural, right? Deeply connected, interdependent. In a society that values independence and self-sufficiency, the church values interdependence, like depending on one another as we depend on Christ. It's wild. And I don't think I've quite understood it completely. So the bottom line, and Eugene Peterson talks about this a lot in his book, The Pastor. He says that being the body is an end goal in itself. Just like going to the rugby club, you do that to play rugby. But so many times we think that we've got to be the church so that we can do something. So let's be the church together in order that we can do good things to our society. Kind of utilitarian view of church. But what if we coming together is the goal? What if actually being the body of Christ is the point? That's different. So just by being the church, Now, of course, we do things and hopefully our society is blessed because of what we do. But what about just seeing the beauty of the body and getting in touch? And then success, right, is not measured by other things. It's measured by our connections. How good is the church? How good is the body? How good is the connectivity between the different members and then its connectivity to the head, which is Christ? Maybe that's a measurement of how good a church is. How connected are we? How interdependent are we? Or are we just a bunch of people who arrive on a Sunday morning and have a quick coffee and off we go? It's the consumer mentality, you know. Good worship this morning, meaning, well, I was entertained. And, yeah, guitar was pretty hot. I could listen to that again. And, yeah. Interesting message, you know, good, entertaining. We kind of get it all wrong, don't we, in our performance culture. Actually, we are the church. So that's who we are. We're the body of Christ. We're joined to Christ and we're joined to each other. So what do we do? How do we connect? And how do we stay joined? Now, you won't find too many prescriptive texts in the Bible, but throughout the scriptures, there's these common themes of what God has shown his people to do in order to be. Let's have a look at Acts 2:46. This is just after the church was formed, a couple thousand years ago. It says, day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. Can you see that? So every day, they'd gather in the temple. That's the large building, the place of worship, the temple. They'd have large meetings, a bit like this, but bigger, because it's the temple of Jerusalem. And breaking bread in their homes, meaning eating together in their homes. So we've got in the early church, we've got large meetings and small meetings, but lots of meetings. They said day by day, day by day. Are you up for that? Every day, coming together, meeting together, praying together, doing stuff together. And so we get this sense that there are large meetings. Our interpretation is Sunday services. There are small meetings. Our interpretation is life groups. Men's groups, women's groups, staff meetings, mission trips, you know, prayer meetings. These are the small gatherings where we connect better. Because let's be honest, it's hard to connect with everybody in a room this size. But in a home with 7 or 8 people, 10 people, that's real connection. And so you can see why the church met large and then small. And then, of course, there's one-to-one. Friends, phone calls, coffee, some exercise together, hanging out at home together, watching a movie together. You know, the things that connect people together in one-on-one. That's what we do in order to be. Make sense? So in order to foster and propagate who we are as the interconnected body of Christ, we do these things. Meet together, large meetings, small groups, and one-on-one. And in these areas, here's what we see in the scripture of what we do when we meet, right? The first thing is we show hospitality. As Rosemary was saying this morning, hospitality is a huge part of God. Now, don't just think hospitality is food. You know, we equate, I'm in the hospitality industry. It's not just a professional food or somebody who works in a motel. No, the hospitable spirit lives in the church because God is hospitable. Because hospitality simply means opening up oneself, their home, themselves, and usually that involves food. Christians are great eaters and connectors and gatherers, and I love that part of our culture. So it's the fellowship of the table. But before we get to the table, we've got to greet each other, don't we? 1 Peter 5:14 says, greet one another with the kiss of love. Peace to all who are in Christ. Many times Paul talks to his church and says, make sure you greet each other. I think as a society, we've forgotten how to greet each other. Ever walked into a staff meeting? Morning. And the kids wake up. You come to church. Like, so much of our world is down. But what about greeting? Why does Paul encourage people to greet each other with a kiss? And what is a kiss in our world today? You know, if you're in France, you know, the double kiss when they greet people. I'm not sure how COVID safe that is. What do we do here? Well, I'd like to bring back the handshake. I know there's COVID and I know that you can be, but here's what I think we should be doing. Men and women, extend out a hand. It's a physical touch. And if you don't feel comfortable with that, or if you're COVID safe or something, completely fine. You can just, I find a wave like that is good. It just says, look, I've got COVID or something. I don't want to pass it on. Or I'm just a bit, and that's okay. But at least you've acknowledged, hey, how you doing? That would be a good little thing. And some people like the hug. Great. Some people don't like the hug. Great. So know who to hug and who not to hug. And often that's when you get to know people or something. I know Joan. Joan loves a hug, and I love a hug. Especially right now, Joan. Goodness. But some people, you know, it's okay. But Paul says, greet each other. At least say, hey, morning, John. Hey, Adam, Scott, good to see you up there. It takes effort and energy, doesn't it? How you doing? It's so nice. Awesome. Love the shirt you're wearing. I can't even see it, but I love it. Find something, you know, is that sense of hospitality, of welcoming people with a kiss of love, an expression of love. If you were Italian, we'd be extravagant. Any Italians in the room? You know, but Aussies? Men? I think we need to get our inner Italian, inner French on, greet each other. Okay, then we eat together. We do this in large groups and small groups. I love this scripture in Luke when Jesus kind of surprised them after he died and rose again. They had a meal together, and when they ate, it says when he was at the table with them, he took the bread and broke it and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. I reckon in the meal we recognize Jesus. I reckon when we eat together, Jesus is present in the meal, and we go, yes. Something happens around Christian food and feasting. And we celebrate and we honor each other. Romans 12:10 says, love one another with brotherly affection. Some of us have forgotten how to be affectionate. Not in a weird kind of way, because we, you know, there's so many things out there. I can't touch someone. I can't. Like, what does it mean? You know, how do we do that today? We can still outdo each other showing honor. So, Tina, where are you? We honor you, Tina, because you are a champion connecting those kids to Jesus. I mean, is there a better thing that she could be doing on a Wednesday? That's awesome. So we honor you. We honor Jonty celebrating. We honor people's achievements, Stedfords. Even though I lost to bagpipes. We outdo one another. It's a competition. Count others as better than ourselves, says Philippians 2. We raise each other up. How countercultural when our world looks for the hero and the influencers. I've got 10 million followers. I'm an influencer. Now let's be the lower and raise others, right? Let's be countercultural. Let's be biblically cultural. So how is your hospitality quotient? How are you emerging from COVID? How are you greeting each other? Providing food for each other, bringing people around. We do this in church. We try. We've got a table out there after church. It's fun. And we sing. We sing. We sing psalms. We sing songs. Colossians 3, Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching, admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So we sing. Together as an expression of our love for Christ. Up here, because it looks like a stage, because it looks like when you turn up to a band, it could be easy to do this. We launched our church in the cinema, right, here in Bathurst 15 years ago. It was fun, but then we just figured everyone's sitting there being entertained, folding their hands, because that's what you do at the cinema. Comfy chairs, popcorn, like, entertain me. This is not the church. We're together. And then when you sing in a room like that, there's no reverb, you know. Everything just dies. So you can sing as loud as you like, but you can't hear a thing. Hopefully here we've got a bit of reverb. So let's sing together. You're not coming here to be entertained. These guys are leading you in worship so that you can sing. That's what the scripture said. And even post-COVID, I know, we've been told to not sing. And it's kind of weird. Now, let's sing. Let's sing. Let's recapture our voice together. And then, let's open the scriptures. 1 Timothy 4:13 says, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of scripture, to exhortation, to teaching, to preaching, large groups and small groups. Let's open the Bible. This is our DNA. This is our culture. This is our guide. This is the living word. So whenever we gather, whether it's a small group, a large group, Bible studies, connect groups, you know, men's, women's, we open the word. We're committed to the word as it is, to preaching, teaching, explaining it. That's what Paul says. And we pray. Matthew 18 says, if two of you agree on earth about anything, they ask. Just two, he says. If I've just got two of you agreeing, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. Intercession for each other, praying for each other. Dietrich Bonhoeffer in his book Life Together says this, a Christian fellowship lives and exists by the intercession of its members for one another, or it collapses. Wow. That the church lives on the intercession, the prayers of its people for another. So if we don't know each other, we don't pray for each other, we can't connect to each other, we're just kind of coming to be entertained or just to kind of fulfill a cultural expectation, but actually we are the body of Christ. This is challenging, but this is what I see in the scriptures. And so here are these elements. We show hospitality, we sing, we open the scriptures, we pray, and we take communion. It's a weird thing, isn't it? We're going to do that at the end. But 1 Corinthians says that the cup of blessing that we bless, is that not a participation in the blood of Christ? And the bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Now listen to this. When we drink and eat those funny little things that we do, we are participating in the body of Christ. We're identifying with him and connecting with him. It's a little weird, but it's something that the church has done forever and that Jesus has told us to do. And it connects us and it identifies us with Christ. So therefore we do it. So those things, as we do them, we become better informed and part of the body of Christ, large groups and small. And finally, how to be. These are the attitudes of gathering. We all know that there are certain attitudes that hinder and help gathering. Here's the ones that help, according to the scriptures. It's how to be. So be humble. Who's the greatest? Who's the greatest here? Jesus' disciples asked that question a few times. I can just imagine the disciples are arguing And Jesus walks in and he's just going, oh, come on. Come on, boys. It's not about who is the greatest. Continually he says, actually, the greatest is the one who serves. That's how we measure greatness. It's countercultural. An argument arose and Jesus put a child next to him. He says, the child is greater than you because the child serves. So be humble. Be humble. It's not about me. It's not about my thing. It's about the other person. This kind of attitude fosters community. It fosters gathering. Be a listener. James 1:19, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. It's the ministry of holding one's tongue. How many times have you been in a conversation or a one-way dialogue? How about listening? How about, hey, how's your day? What's happening? How about being the inquirer? How about being the one who takes time and puts their own agendas behind and inquires about the other? That's great community building. Be a listener. Be helpful. Simple helpfulness. This isn't rocket science, is it? Philippians 2:4 says, let each of you not only look to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. It's simple assistance in people's worlds. What are the interests? What are the needs of other people around me? And you can't do everything, but you could do something. And try and weave into your week a helpfulness for somebody else in the body of Christ. Just because you can. It could be cooking a meal. It could be just caring for something. It could be just ringing them up. Hey, notice you're a bit down on Sunday. You okay? Just helpfulness is a beautiful attitude. And transparent. Ooh. James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it's working. Confess your sins to one another? Ooh, that's countercultural. I mean, you might have seen places, public, where people line up and go, oh, this week I did something bad. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about transparency. You might be having a conversation with someone and you can just say, you know what, I really struggle with that. You know, I just couldn't get out of bed this morning. Like, I'm sorry. Actually confessing that we're not completely well, my goodness, that's countercultural. In a world where we look to the perfect, it's a much quicker way of opening up a conversation. A much quicker way of going deep with somebody to be a little transparent. Rather than trying to portray ourselves as the perfect. I've lost count of the number of people who I'm on text with and who say, look, oh, I'm not feeling so great this morning. I can't come to church. I'm not talking about health. I'm talking about, I don't feel good. I got it wrong this week. I've got it, oh, I couldn't get it right. So I can't come to church. What? This is where you should be. Church is a collection of people who just haven't quite got it together. Since when is that a qualifier for coming to church? You are the church and we are the church in weakness. And we carry each other. So when I got a sore finger, I'm sensitive about it. And I look after it, you know? And I wrap it up and bandage it. And instead of just cutting it off, I'm not worthy of coming to church. Let's get rid of that mindset. We're a collection of not quite right people, but that's okay. And let's enter into that space rather than pretend that everything's all good. So be humble, be a listener, be helpful, be transparent. These things will help build this curious gathering we call the body of Christ. It will connect you to each other and to Christ far quicker than the opposite. And it's a celebration of the body. And as we grow together and as we build together, it is much, much better, much deeper, much more significant than any sporting club or any other institution because it's the body of Christ. And over the years, I love the body of Christ. And I love what Christ is doing in me, in us, throughout this city. So we're going to take some time. Musos are going to come up on the stage. There's going to be some communion here. And just taking a few minutes. You see, communion is a commitment to Christ and each other. That's what that word means, communion, common union. It's a commitment to the other. We recognize Christ in the middle of it. But it's also a sense of being broken. Now, if you follow me here for a second, a loaf of bread starts whole and then it's broken. Jesus was whole and he was broken. That's what this means. And when we come together and take the broken bits together, guess what? We become whole. It's such a powerful thing. And it's not just the symbolism or the representation. We really believe that Christ is present in communion. Because that's what the scripture says. So the presence of Jesus, it says, it's a participation, 1 Corinthians 10:16. Participation in the body and the blood of Christ. Because there's one bread and we who are many are one body. So as you take communion this morning, recognize that Jesus' body was broken, but so that you can be whole. But you're only whole together. He has that bit, I have this bit, she has that bit, he has that bit, but actually together, it brings us to wholeness. You can't be whole alone, but you can be whole together. And the blood. It says that we have participation in the blood of Christ. It means that we are sharing in his suffering. We're sharing in his forgiveness for us. But together. Together we recognize that none of us have it together. We all need forgiveness. We all need help. It's a toast to the fact that Jesus recognizes our need and actually comes inside of us to help us fulfill that need. So powerful. These guys are going to sing. Just invite you to, in your time, come out, grab bread and the juice, wine. Take it back to your seat and just thank God for being part of the body of Christ. And we'll wrap it up there. So Jesus, come and be with us as we share in this meal this morning.